No problem, Dr. Lam. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you for coming and choosing this presentation. My co-author for this presentation are Tracy Blackmer on the Farm Network, Iowa State Administration, and Petruzza Caraccia, Department of Statistics, Iowa State University. The issue of variable rate nitrogen application for corn is not actually new. It's been discussed and searched for the last 20 years. And the main reason why we are interested in this variable rate application are still the same: economics and improving environmental degradation. But ironically, for the last couple of years, there is an extremely growing interest in variable rate application because most of our farmers have all of these gadgets and tools in their combines. And having GPS, RTK, and different kind of flow meter and sensor, they want to know how they can utilize these different tools. There were several talks in this conference about crop sensor, and they have a lot of potential to be used as tools for guiding variable rate application. Unfortunately, in Iowa, early in the season, it's very difficult, and also a lot of variability in corn growth and development early in the season is because of soil properties and supply of nitrogen by the soil. That's why soil-based variable rate application, farmers interested in soil-based variable application. To start talking about soil-based variable application, the first concept which is often discussed is the concept of management zones. It's the idea of mapping our soil by zones, and each of zones should get some different nitrogen rates. It can be used yield, soil types, topography, and different types of variables. The advantage of using management zone concept is that it's relatively simple. In fact, we soil scientists have been using this for almost 100 years, mapping our soils. The disadvantage of management zone concept is that very often the relationship or cause-effect relationship between variables are not very well defined. Another problem, not often the yield response is used. If we don't use yield response, we don't know should we increase our nitrogen rate or decrease, and where. Another problem, we have above a dozen of different statistical and clustering methods to delineate this management zone. And very often this method will produce different results. More importantly, all these management zones have little value without input of farmers, because only a farmer knows where the manure was applied and what was the management history 20 or 10 years ago. The most ideal approach is called site-specific yield response function method. What sometimes scientists do, and a lot of some research has been done around Midwest, we split this field into blocks or cells, and then we would apply randomly a rate, different nitrogen rates. Measuring yield, we can fit a curve and estimate the range in economical optimum rates or yield response. And what usually we get, it's mapped like this. It's with a lot of variability in economic optimal nitrogen rate in this spatial variable field. The question is why? Partially it's true because of spatial variability in soil nitrogen supply, but partially because this estimate carry a lot of uncertainties and error by itself. But the real question is, what is driving the cause of this spatial variability? And again, it's a spatial analysis. But this approach is not very practical for farmers, for logistical purposes in analysis. But what if a farmer knows what's the average or normal, some kind of long-term average or normal rate for this field? Then the variable application can be studied by only applying extra nitrogen below or above this average normal nitrogen rate. And then the question becomes where and when these yield responses or economic yield responses occur within this spatial variable field. Therefore, the objective of this study was to develop on the farm and farm a practical methodology for establishing this relationship between site-specific factor like topography an economic yield response, especially in this near optimum range where a farmer can apply extra nitrogen in these fields. And of course, we will deal with spatial dependency. This is methodology. I'll show you an example of it. It's a one study, a long-term study. It's the same farm, same management. There are two nitrogen rate, 128, 140 kilo per hectare. It's a side dress UAN at V4, V3 to avoid losses. The farmer applied just two rate, high and low, these rates, in manual replication, from 20 to 35 replication in this 80 acres field to have a good spatial resolution of this treatment. Then, by measuring yield by yield monitor, we estimated yield differences in grid cell about 40, 50 meter long. And finally, we classify these yield responses by two categories, profitable, non-profitable, based on common prices. And this is, we got this map. The dark color is profitable, the gray is non-profitable. The question is, why are we using categorical analysis? First, often we don't trust individual yield monitor observation. The second, the decision to apply this extra nitrogen is very simple, it's yes or no. Also, all these fields had collected spatial variables, topography variables like elevation, topographic wetness index, which is proxy for moisture, apparent soil electrical conductivity, soil maps, and yield of the previous corn crop. Then the task was where and when try to establish relationship between all these variables or one variables and this economic categorical economic yield response, profitable black and profitable gray. To do this, we utilize so-called autologistic models. It's a statistical jargon, but it's auto means spatial, logistic means that we have only two categories, profitable, non-profitable, and we try to predict the probability of profitable economic yield response. And of course, we deal with spatial variability, spatial dependence. We use so-called central autologistic model, and what it means that it matches the large-scale structure, spatial structure independence, which is controlled by spatial trend, by met to marginal spatial structure, which is controlled by variance-covariance. And why is it important? Because we could interpolate these model parameters for a wider range of spatial dependencies in these economic yield responses. Here's a study. It's over a 6 year. We had a field repeated each year to study spatial effect and temporal effect, like this field N, S, R, R, T, were repeated over three growing seasons. It was corn after soybean, 15 site year. And you can see that the model actually model this spatial dependence in two directions, along the rows and across the rows. And you can see that spatial dependence along the rows was slightly higher than across the rows, which has sense. And what we found that from these 15 fields, only in 8 fields, we could find effective spatial factors. For example, relative elevation was significant in 2 fields. Each of them was significant in 2 fields. Like in this field, the relative elevation, the higher the relative elevation, the higher probability of profitable yield response. In this field, the downward arrow, the higher probability of profitable yield response when low elevation. What is significant here that these effects did not repeat over time. Essentially, these effects were not consistent from field to field, positive, negative effect, and so on. Only topographic wetness index had the same direction, which is kind of disappointment, especially if we want to use this variable for a variable rate application. Now, we could take these 8 fields we found significant effects, we could predict these economic yield responses. And again, these are predicted map, gray non-profitable, dark is profitable, and we could predict about 65-80% of cells in each of these fields. You can see which is not bad. And again, look in temporal stability, there is no stability here because this area is different, black and gray. It may be said that in this field there was some temporal stability, but in general there was no temporal stability in this estimate. We can take this 8 fields and plug this significant topography and soil factor and simulate two scenarios. One, if grower apply his normal rate, which was 100 pounds per acre, and then he added extra 25 pounds, the question is, what's the economic benefit of variable rate application versus uniform? And we found that the net return to variable rate application was about $26 per hectare, which is not bad considered it's a small fertilizer increment. And also we could save about 11 kilos per hectare of nitrogen across all of these fields. What did we learn? We learned that soil and topography factors significantly affected this economic yield response, this categorical yield response, only in 8 fields of 15, in half. Unfortunately, this effect were not consistent over time, which is not good for variable rate nitrogen application. We also found that soil map units and yield of previous corn crop, because it was corn of the soybean, did not have effect on economic yield response. But it's often done, especially at local level, at different co-ops and there are a lot of guidelines which suggest to use soil map units and yield to guide variable application. In this study, it didn't work out. But the positive side is that from 5 of these 8 sites, the higher the elevation, the higher the slope, and the well-drained area, we saw the higher probability of profitable yield response. Compare with area with low elevation, lower slope, and poor drain area, which is probably attributed to soil mineralization potential and partially moisture. And the thoughts of the day related to this study is that what Tracy likes to say, that we can always apply the wrong amount in the wrong place. Another favorite quote from the internet is that some problems are so complex that we have to be well informed just to be undecided about them. And that is true, but having this relatively simple on-farm methodology, farmer can do it on his field over several years, and with doing this type of analysis, we can actually make him more decided on decided with this type of data. Thank you.